What of him, dear brethren, without him? Do we know him today? I think today, February 2nd, 2025. Do we know Jesus today better than we know him yesterday? Do we know him today in the winds and tosses of the seas that are happening under our eyes? We are living times that we've been praying for, and at the same time, we are grumbling and maybe murmuring. That's why it's happening. These are the times that we have to watch and pray. These are the times that we've been praying for, not only us. The entire Christians, the entire nation of God, or the people of God, ever since Adam fall. I think Adam's first prayer after they fall was for that seed to come as soon as possible. We cannot understand how much he longed for the Garden of Eden, because we don't know how it was. Not for the garden itself, but for the fellowship that he had with God. We don't have in the Bible anything said that after Adam fell and he got the condemnation, God ever spoke to him. We don't know. He might have, but we don't have. Thus says the Lord. Therefore, I think the greatest joy of Adam and his race will be with when all mankind will be really reunited in that perfect relationship with God, and not only for them, but for the whole universe. Therefore, I think that Adam, from the very first moment he got out of the Garden of Eden, he was watching and praying for that moment. He was watching and praying what God had in mind when he promised that. He was so certain about the punishment because it was immediate. And I think he could feel it through his own body, that with death you shall die, that he started to die in that very moment. Not necessarily physically, though he died at 930 years old, but spiritually. He did not have that communication with the Heavenly Father every morning or at the sunset. What a privilege that through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can have that communion with him. Now, what is necessary in order to accomplish that? What is it necessary for us to do so we may enjoy that special privilege? So we will look here, by the Lord's grace, in some of the scriptures. And I think all the brethren know, when you dwell in a subject that pertains to the Word of God, you find angles and depths that you think you will never be able to accomplish, to even scratch the surface. Therefore, I'm asking for your cooperation in giving me your grace for touching only a few of the aspects that are related to this subject. I think the most important thing, and we'll start and we'll finish with this, to watch and pray, is to bring glory to God in everything we do, say, or think. Now, there are certain requirements, there are certain dangers in doing that, but the most important thing is to realize that it's God's grace that we have this honor to call him Father. But at the same time, it is a very serious endeavor and requirement of us to watch and pray. Because if we're not watching and we're not praying, our Heavenly Father is telling us we might be cast away. And that's not as a threat. I don't perceive that as being cast away out of life, but out of his closeness and fellowship. And I think if we desire to be as close to him as possible, we shall strive to live according to his principles as close as possible. So let's look in the scriptures that are connected in the New Testament. Watch and pray. Before we go there, I bring many greetings from my latest travel, from the brethren, some friends first that we have in Jerusalem, in Tel Aviv, and then in Romania, especially my mother and my mother-in-law, and also the brethren in Kalinești, whom we had the privilege to serve last Sunday. And I went to visit and pick Estera from there, and what do you know? The brethren ask you to serve, even if you're ready or not ready. And that's quite a challenge. Some elders might know this challenge. It was a blessing to serve my brethren there. Then very special greetings and thanks from the brethren in Sicily. Brother Massimiliano and Brother Luciano, they still need your prayers. They received your generous gift for them, and it was very welcomed. And also greetings from a few brethren in Barcelona that you have of Romanian origin. Some of them working very hard in spreading the word of God to the Spanish-speaking group that's over there and in South America. With this being said, we find, we will look only in two aspects of this watch and pray. So we have Matthew 26 and Mark 14 that are using the same word, Greek word, Gregorio, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. In Luke 21:36, but stay alert or watch. It's a different word, agrupneo, at all times, praying that you will have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. They are somewhat different, but they were very similar in a way. The question, again, is not if the temptation comes. That is not the question. The question is not that all these things are going to happen. That is not the question. And the answer is not that this is happening only at a certain point in the gospel age. I think there are some elements that do happen just at a certain point. But to allocate this only at the beginning of time, of the gospel age, or the end, or the middle, I think will not be correct. So let's see a little bit more, in more details about these aspects. The word Gregorio, and here I'm going to go a little bit faster, just because it is, there are definitions from Greek and Hebrews, and you'll bear with me. I try to put them on a larger, yes, it's pretty good. I hope you can read on a larger font. Gregorio is to watch, to be vigilant, responsible, to stay awake. Derived from the Greek word egerio, meaning to awaken or to arouse from sleep. It's a quite important distinction. The usage conveys the idea of staying awake and being alert both physically and spiritually. In the New Testament, it is often used in the context of spiritual readiness and moral alertness, urging believers to be attentive to their faith and the coming of the Lord. The Hebrew equivalent, often associated with the concept of watchfulness, is shamar, which means to keep guard or observe. The cultural understanding of vigilance is mirrored in the New Testament, where spiritual watchfulness is emphasized as crucial, as a crucial aspect of Christian living. The early Christians lived in anticipation of Christ's return, and Gregorio was a call to remain steadfast and prepared. The other word, agrupneo, is to be watchful, to stay awake, to be vigilant. The difference being in the meaning, I am not asleep. I'm awake. I am watchful. The other one, it's awaking from asleep. And we have the parable of the wise virgins, that they fell asleep. It's a slight difference. I'm not a student of Greek. I looked in the details, and would be a wonderful study to look at a few other words that have to deal with watching, with looking, and being on the alert, and so on. The term, I'm going to read in the middle of the usage, the term suggests an active, intentional effort to remain awake and aware, both physically and spiritually. And then the Hebrew word shaked, and shamar also, the other one, we will look into that a little bit. Let's just go there and look before we have a little analysis. Shamar, to keep guard, observe, give heed. Here we see that it means, conveys the idea of careful attention and protection. It's often used to describe the act of keeping God's commandments, guarding one's heart, or observing the Sabbath. Different categories. It implies a sense of diligence and responsibility in maintaining what is valuable or sacred. The point being that you have to know absolutely for certain what is valuable and sacred. That implies a study in itself in order to maintain that, in order to guard that, to watch that. The cultural and historical background. In ancient Israelite culture, the concept of shamar was integral to the covenant relationship between God and his people. The Israelites were commanded to shamar the laws and decrees given by God as a sign of their faithfulness and devotion. This term also reflects the agrarian lifestyle of the Israelites, where shepherds would shamar their flocks, ensuring their safety and well-being. The idea of guarding and keeping was deeply embedded in the societal and religious practices of the time. Isn't that interesting that the Lord is being proclaimed as being born to the shepherds that were doing shamar of their flocks? They were watching, they were guarding their flocks. Here is something extremely interesting. We're getting in some interesting facts. The first time the word shamar is used, it's in Genesis 2:15, where Adam is given the shamar to watch over the Garden of Eden, to work. If you don't watch, even the perfect creation of God will just go and grow in a wild. Now, he's given the task, the first perfect man at that time, to shamar, to watch over the Garden of Eden. Isn't that amazing? God's creation, God created everything, but he sets principles, and that might relate with the study that Brother John led earlier, with the fact that the animal world is somehow, by instinct, as far as we think, regulated by God's principles. But the garden has to be cared upon, watched upon. Cain says that he's not his brother's keeper, he's not his shamar. Aaron, wasn't he supposed to be his shamar as being an older brother? Aren't we supposed to be the shamar of our brethren, the watchers? Of course, in a lovely spirit. Furthermore, in Genesis 17:9, we see that God said further to Abraham, "Now, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, shamar, and you and your descendant after you throughout their generations. Shamar, watch carefully with utmost attention to every detail. And then the Hebrews are instructed to watch or to keep the feast, the Passover, the law, the Sabbath, the construction of the tabernacle, the temple, all its sacrifices, functions, and precepts. We do study the tabernacle, we study in the book of Exodus. We go sometimes in so many details, and we see how carefully they had to watch and keep to make sure not even one single detail was missing. Nothing was done hastily. Oh, it's good this way, it's good that way. Let's just get, somehow things will work out. Somehow things will bring the result that we expect. Shakad we will go here and we will skip a little bit. We'll just underline the fact that this word is the Hebrew word. It's means actually to be almond-shaped, to watch, to be alert, and is used for readiness. And in Israel, this was a very strong symbol, and it was known for its early blooming, symbolizing watchfulness and the prompt fulfillment of God's promises. And we have a wonderful scripture in Jeremiah 1, 11 and 12. And the word of the Lord at the bottom of the slide. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, what do you see, Jeremiah? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. This is the greatest watcher of the universe. It is God. Now, you remember the scripture that says, be holy as I am holy. And if I'm not mistaken, Brother Darius Grudzin at our convention brought the fact that the man can be striving with all his might to keep the principles of God. And that is within the power to do justly, to do as much as we can in every aspect of our life, as just and as close to what our Heavenly Father. In order for us to watch upon God's work, we have to know what God is working at. We have to realize and to see the plan of God. But how much can we control? And the second part of our service today will be in what regards, and maybe more practical examples, and maybe, not maybe, for sure, most of you already know all these aspects, but will be a reminder and maybe an interesting angle for the younger brothers and sisters. Watch and pray so you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We read in Matthew, in Mark 14, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. So we are going to look at this very well-known event that happened in the Garden of Gethsemane and see the depthness of the lesson that God, through our Lord Jesus, gave not only to Peter, but to all of us. This is one of the very few times when Jesus is asking the disciples to do anything. He's really not asking through his entire mission almost anything of the disciples. He's asking them this. He asked them before to go and prepare the Passover. It was not that difficult because they were used to prepare the Passover. But at this very grieved hour, he's asking them to stay there with him and keep watch. In one of the Gospels, it says that he takes three of them, Peter, John, I think, and James, on the side. We don't know how far from each other, but most likely pretty close, since later on John records the prayer that he had in Gethsemane. Anyways, why are the apostles not urging his commandment? And I want to underline, we'll come back to this at the end of our presentation, the fact that when the Lord says, watch and pray, it's a commandment. I think it's an advice, but I think it's an advice given with such love and seriousness that it has to be taken as a commandment. Because he says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. if you do not watch and pray, you do fall into temptation. Now, here is something that I found very strengthening for me. Do you know what happened right before they went in the Garden of Gethsemane? And if you look in Mark 14 in the previous verses, I didn't put them here because they are well known. Jesus is telling them, in this night, all of them, you will run away or leave me alone. You're going to leave from me. And Peter says, even if everyone is forsaking thee, not me. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to be by you no matter what. And look here what the Lord is saying to him. He calls him Simon. Do you see this? Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Simon is asleep. Peter is ready to fight to death. But Simon, son of Barjona, son of Jonah, the flesh, is asleep. And the Lord says, watch and pray. Unless you watch and pray, Peter doesn't come to life. Simon always falls into temptation. Our flesh, always, no mistakes, falls into temptation. If a perfect human flesh falls into the temptation, and we'll see, we cannot believe that we will resist temptation. Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And on the other hand, we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities. So Peter realizes this. They fall asleep again. And look what he says in Mark. They did not know what to say to him. They didn't know. They didn't have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in them yet. They had the influence, but they did not have. You do not know, and I do not know what to say to the Lord when I fall into temptation. I just know that it's the flesh that led me there. And I cannot speak. And I think that's one of the best attitudes that we should have. Me personally and everyone else. Not to try to excuse ourselves, but just to be quiet. And next time, watch and pray. We're going to the other word, watch, akrubneo, Greek word. It's a little bit different. But I think you'll see the difference, how it is being used. And you know the parable when the Lord is telling them about the signs of the coming of the man and the fig tree and Israel. But in the middle of this, right in the middle of the paragraph, I'm going to start reading to, but be on your guard. Look what the conclusion of the Lord is. But be on your guard, so that your hearts will not be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that this day will not come on you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all those who live on the face of all the earth. But watch at all times, praying that you will have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Again, throughout the gospel age, Christians had to take heed and give heed to this. Therefore, the expectation was from the days of the apostles that the Lord has already come. And Apostle Paul has to rebuke them and give them a proof that the Lord has not come yet. And the resurrection, right? We remember from his epistles. But here, the advice of the Lord is, in order for this event, we have to be on guard so our hearts will be not overcame by anything of this life, especially the worries of this life. Do we find ourselves today, February 2nd, 2025, worried about what's going to happen tomorrow? Five days from us, from now, 5 years from now? What's going to happen with maybe our resources that we maybe more or less put a little bit of trust in them, our pension funds, our country? Do we worry? I present to you that greater the worries are for us, less is our watching and praying. Greater the watching and praying, we will be like our Lord, sleeping on a boat in the middle of the biggest storm, because he knew. He watched and prayed the day before, the night before. He knew that his Father, he knew who's controlling the sea. Brethren, more we know the Heavenly Father and our Lord, more at peace we'll go to sleep. This is extremely important for us. Watching and praying, it's almost like a contradiction. Maybe Brother Richard can help me here. In the Greek world, philosophy, they had a certain term, and it doesn't come to my mind. When you say watch and pray, and at the same time you sleep really soundly, your physical body sleeps really soundly, because you're watching and praying in spirit, so to speak. Is the contradiction between the watch and pray and being at rest. Remember the scripture apostle Paul and our Lord says that we have entered into his rest, into the sabbatical rest, because we know that all things work together for the benefits. So, let us pray that we will have the strength to escape all these things. Good. So, we will stay a little bit here. Before we move then a little bit faster. How important is to watch something in life? Now we're going back to natural watching. I find the most amazing thing still that people are watching when they are driving. I find that's so important that billions and billions of cars are driving. An accident, the percentage of accident, it's so little comparing to who's driving and under what conditions, that I think it's an amazing thing to see this happening. And sometimes at high speeds. Now imagine that you're not being careful how you're driving. You're not watching. What's your dear one or somebody in the car? And just had a couple weeks ago, one of our daughters, we were starting off at the green light, and somebody was running a red light at a speed that I did not see the car coming. Lily didn't see the car coming. And one of our daughters from the back says, watch out. And we slammed the brakes. They're just running through a light. I don't think the person even saw the light. But what would happen if 3-4 people in the same intersection, none of them are watching? Can you imagine that? Even from the natural viewpoint. And now we will go in an aspect in a little bit that you already know. How would you watch? How would I watch if I would know that there is a biggest truck on the highway coming to crash me? And its sole purpose is to literally crash me and destroy me. For your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking to whom he may devour. Watch and pray, therefore, I say. We will go into this and we are going to look how important. See, today in the society, to watch and pray, to watch, to really be decided about what is right, what is wrong, not because of what you say, of your opinion, to really know what God is saying about a subject, about a career, about a lifestyle. It's looked down upon. We have to really make a clear distinction between what God says and what we say on our preference. And there's nothing wrong. God allows us so much freedom. Like Brother Carl used to say, God's will is wide, is like a highway, like a street, but you gotta make sure you go in the same direction and you don't go overboard to the left or to the right. Let's keep the direction and keep walking on it. But we really have to know the directions. We have to know the milestones. We have to know and to be prepared to walk on the narrow way. Let's look a little bit more into the personal character. The Word of God shows us how to be watching at multiple aspects. Character, our personal relationship and responsibilities. One for ourselves in order to be in his likeness towards his glory. Also for others in order to serve and help them towards the same goal. Two, doctrinal, rightly dividing the word of truth. Three, prophetical, recognizing the signs of the time and waiting for the kingdom. In all these aspects, prayer is the communication line that will help us to watch and recognize God's will at all times, looking at our Lord and his apostles. Now, going back to the driving a car, if the person next to you hits you hard or doesn't even hit you hard or says from the back, watch out, are you going to get upset on that person? Am I going to get upset on my daughter because she yelled, watch out, Dad? Or am I going to be thankful? I think that many times we let the Simons get upset when the Lord is rebuking us. Individually, maybe, collectively. When someone is drawing attention, our attention, spiritual attention, towards the word of God, we should be always thankful. It might not be pleasing. It might rub us the wrong way. Hopefully the one that's drawing the attention is going to say it in a kind way. But if it's an emergency, you have to yell it out. Right? You cannot say, can I tell you something, Dad? I see a car coming from your left side and you're not seeing it. It's going to be a little bit too late. And sometimes just being quiet is one of the best way to bring attention to some things. Right? The friends of Job did so well for 7 days when they said nothing. And then they went the other direction, trying to show him how sinful he was and how worthy he was of God's punishment. So sometimes, dear brethren, we have to use both aspects, both in receiving and in giving heed towards the word of God, because I think that we all, with all our love and strength, we strive to bring glory to the Heavenly Father. Now, I'll present something to you. Do you think, what's the enemy of being awake or watchful? What do you think is the antonym of that? Being sleepy, right? Being awake, being asleep. Now, it's very well known that being asleep or sleepiness is very contagious. I think it's very contagious. We see in the Garden of Gethsemane, it was so contagious, especially after you eat a big good meal. It was very contagious. One was watching and praying our Lord, and 12 were asleep, sound asleep. Well, 11, Judah was awake but doing other things. So that's a different subject and a different study. Being awake in doing what? But being watchful is not something that's contagious. But we have to keep each other watching. And how do you keep somebody watching? Hey, wake up. When a mother expects a child, do you think it's watching for signs? Most of the sisters, I think, are mothers. We have sister Nadia is not here, but she's watching for any sign any day. Do you think she's preparing for that? I think preparation is absolutely necessary. You cannot just watch and pray without being prepared of what to do before and after. Because in this case, a child is coming. And after the child is coming, you have to be ready to treat the best way you can treat in order to grow. That's on the positive side. On the side of the enemy, you cannot just be watching and praying without being ready to fight. Ready to have the whole armor of God on before the enemy shows up. You will not see a watchman staying on a city just watching and no armor, no arrows, no trumpet, no nothing, just watching. That shows us the preparation that is really needed day by day. How did our Lord watch and pray? We are familiar with Isaiah 50. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. Are we awakened every morning to hear God speaking? Are we aware? This really struck me, that God is a God that loves speaking. How do we know that? In the first day, God said, "Let there be." The second day, God said. The third day, God said. The fourth day, God said. The fifth day, God said. The sixth day, God said. The seventh day, God said. He loves to speak. If there is someone to listen and hear and obey. Now we see that the first 6 days, they all listened and obeyed. The entire creation came into being because they listened. Now how much do we wake up in the morning, and I would suggest this, to do it regardless of your age. And we have the wonderful morning resolve. But even before we say, maybe in our minds, my morning resolve, just think about our God and Jesus, even for a few minutes. Say, God, I want to really see what you will say to me today. I'm really going to watch and see what you're going to say to me. That's going to develop our relationship with our Heavenly Father and with our Lord stronger than ever before. If I wake up and I say, I have to do this, and it might be all great things, but it's already known in, not only in the medical world, in the managing world. If you have your own plan, you'll be very, very little inclined to hear anything else. You're a man with a mission, and that's it. Your plans are not going to change. Just like the priest and the Levite. The good Samaritan, I think, he really had a good plan to make business. But at the same time, he was really open and watching on everything that's going to happen on his way. In the parable of the prodigal son, and our time is flying and my slides are many, we're studying the parables, and I think this is important. When we read the word of God, which we say that is the sword with two edges, and it's a living, right? The living word of God, the living thing, means it always shows you new aspects. I cannot read the same scripture today and mean the same thing that meant 20 years ago. It will not deny what it means. It is going to build up on that. But I will see new angles and more beauties into it. So in the parable of the prodigal son, we know we're not going to go through the details, but I will point three points I have not seen since maybe less than half a year ago. The brother, what he says when he sees his younger brother coming back. He's angry, we know this. Now look at these three aspects, and we have the scripture on the screen. And yet you never gave us me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. And the father said, what? All that I have is thine. We should make merry and be glad, for this brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. The father is telling him that everything that I have is yours. He doesn't realize. He's got the sonship relationship, and he doesn't realize that everything that the father has belongs to him. Even more, he's angry instead of being happy. Why is he angry? Because he wants to be merry with his friends. The father says, we should make merry. He puts in plural. His joy is not the joy of the father. He wants to find the joy with his friends, with a fatted calf. He doesn't he doesn't, with a kid, which is smaller than a fatted calf. He doesn't want to find the joy. His joy is not in the joy of this heavenly Father. So we have to be careful when we are looking in our lives to make sure that our joys are the joy of the heavenly Father. We are happy when he is happy. And also to realize that whatever he has is ours. How did the apostles watch and pray? Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11, 26 through 28, and among many other things, he says in watchings often, and watchings there implies watching and praying. In order to endure all these hardships for the sake of our Lord, watching and praying was an integral part, necessary part of all this. Look at Apostle Peter after he escapes from prison through the miracle of the angel opening the gates. He goes in Acts 12:12, and he finds that many were gathered together and were praying together in the households. I think that's a wonderful custom. It was in the beginning of the early church, and prayer meetings should be a priority whenever we can have them, in our families, even in our meetings. I think it's something that we find again and again that the early church did consistently, the watching and praying together. Acts 16:23-25, you remember, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. They had the psalms, most likely, and other hymns memorized, and they were able to do that. The Lord is our model and the apostles. Watching at, again, the character level, at the personal level. What is the temptation that we should be aware of not to fall in? The birthright. Esau sells his birthright for immediate material gain and satisfaction. Contrast, our Lord Jesus doesn't sell his birthright for anything, because he values it most than anything else. Israel, we find them in slavery. The temptation is go back into the slavery, either as early Christians under the law, they try to make their righteousness according to the law, idolatry, Babylon, confusion. And here Babylon is a confusion when you don't know left from right. When you don't know what is true and what is not true, that's the spirit of Babylon, among many, many other things. When the spiritual understanding is so confused that you really don't know what is the correct way. And only by guiding according to the word of God, we can know that. But I'll bring to your attention an interesting thing. First time that Israel worshiped an idol was when Moses goes first time to bring the law, you remember, for 40 days, and Aaron is making a calf. Do you know why? Maybe one of the reasons, not all of the reasons, but one of the reasons that Israel worship and they have a calf. Have you ever thought, why did they ask for a calf? Do you think they ask in the first day or second day or third day? We don't know exactly, as far as I know. Do we know exactly after how many days? I don't think we know. I would suggest it was at least a few days, at least a good long days. But I would bring this to your attention. I think because they said, and they still say today, some of the Jewish people, Moses has brought out us out of Egypt. And then that Moses is gone. He's not coming back. Because he brought us out of Egypt, we need something or someone to follow. Spirituality or worshiping is such a strong instinct, as strong as the hunger, thirst, and life surviving. I think, if I'm not wrong, Dostoevsky said there are no atheists, they're all worshippers, or they all have idols, even if it's the idol of your own heart. Because there's a strong desire in our heart to worship. Therefore, Israel worships that, because they said, Moses has brought us out. If they would have said, God has brought us out of Egypt, the God that is unseen, they would not have desired an idol. Same thing with us. As far as we can understand that God is the one that gives us the grace, just like the opening hymn, without him, I would be nothing. Then we are on the safe ground. In the New Testament, 2 Corinthians, and we mention a little bit, Eve was deceived by the serpent. And then here it's a tricky 2 Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 2. That's a little trick. Hopefully we'll get there. See which one is the second epistle. Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, not to subject actually the order that she should at least ask Adam about it before she would eat. And we will just remain to the aspect of humility, because that aspect, what Apostle Paul says, your minds, I am afraid that your minds may be somehow led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. In 1 Peter 5:8, we have this wonderful quote from the Old Testament, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, so he may exalt you at the proper time, having cast all your worries on him because he cares about you. Be sober-minded, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We talk about how decided the old serpent, the devil, walks like a roaring lion. But to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God leads to exaltation, but not in this life, but also leads to something else. In James 4, I'm just gonna read in the middle. Submit yourself then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. When we humble ourselves, do we realize that? That the word of God says that the adversary will flee from you. How many Christians, brethren or sisters, you know, that when the adversary sees them coming, he flees. Doesn't walk away. Doesn't run. He flees. It's a very powerful word. The one that humbles truly himself to God, the adversary flees from him. The other ones that do not humble themselves, the adversary strives to get them into temptation. And if you look at the temptations in the wilderness, the Lord humbles himself by always quoting the scripture and nothing else. And the adversary leaves him because he can do nothing. How wonderful would it be to have as many brethren and sisters that walk as light into this world, and they walk at work, and the adversary flees. Peace follows with them, not strife. Calmness, not worriness. How wonderful would that be? But that's the word of God, brethren. If we watch and pray, and we humble ourselves, there is no greater power, because our Lord Jesus says, learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart. This is the second epistle to the Ephesians, brethren. Revelation 2:1-6, because the angel of the church in Ephesus to him to write. So it's almost like a second letter. Write this to Ephesus. Amazing things that the church in Ephesus is doing. And we'll not go into those details. But what I have against you, you have forsaken the love that you had at first, or your first love. Brethren, we cannot forsake that. We have to watch and pray to maintain that first love. When Jesus was everything, where he sent, we went. When we strive with all our hearts to know him closer and closer, when he's everything at the beginning of the day and the end of the day, he's the Alpha and Omega of our lives. Revelation 3, 14 and 20. The Laodicean, and there are so many discourses on this, and I apologize for running a little bit over the time. We started a bit late. It seems that it's difficult. It's very difficult, the problem that the Laodicea has, and that's a study in itself. The problem is that you do not know that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. If I don't know I am sick, how am I going to go to the doctor? If I do not know that I'm sick, or I have sometimes a serious disease, how would I go to a doctor? If nothing hurts, I'm not going to treat it. That's one of the big problems. A great help will be if you have somebody that recognizes the symptoms that you do not recognize. And then to really welcome that someone that can point you, hey, maybe you have to be careful with this. Watch what you eat. Watch what you drink. Watch what you do. But the solution is very simple in a way. The solution to this problem is what, brethren? The solution, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire. The church of Laodicea thinks is rich because bought the gold or whatever she bought from some other sources. The Lord says the solution is to buy from me, from the Word of God, from nowhere else. And that gold refined by fire on the marketplace and so on, that were gold, chrysos, it's also a coin made of gold or ornament that sometimes it was made with the image of the one that printed that coin. Caesars used to do that even before them. A lot of kings. The gold that we have to buy is with the image of our Lord Jesus Christ on it. And we have to buy it from him. Otherwise, we think we are rich, but we might not be rich. Ephesians 5, 6 through 17. I think we can read this at our homes. It really shows that by the grace of God, we have to live as children of light and make the most of every single opportunity that we might have in order to praise God and to understand the Lord's will, what the Lord's will is. In conclusion, to watch, we have to watch to get daily in closer relationship with our Father through His Son, to unite the words with the deeds all done in love, to serve joyfully, being happy, I miss a word there, being happy for the privilege, or thankful for the privilege given to work in his vineyard, to be thankful for the privilege to suffer, as we read in Philippians 1:29. Here we will stop for a second. Blessed is the one reading, and those hearing the words of the prophecy, and keeping the things having been written in it, for the time is near. Revelation 1:3. And I pick this translation because it's the closest to the Greek word, a continual, the one reading, not the one who read or reads. Reading, hearing, keeping. Do we watch to read daily the Word of God? The scripture said, blessed is the one reading. This is so many things we cannot control in our lives. In our society, we talk so much about the society and what's happening in maybe Washington, Rome, Beijing, or anywhere else. How much do we worry about being blessed by reading? I'm going to take the time and I'm going to read the Word of God because I want to watch and pray upon it. To watch our heart, words, tongue, and actions, to watch not to fall asleep, to watch and encourage each other, to love and good words, to proclaim the word of the Lord courageously, to pray in spirit and truth, to give glory to God in all things. The question is not if the enemy is coming, but to be watching and praying to be ready and close as possible to the captain of our salvation. It's a command to watch and pray in order to fulfill all the other three commandments: to love God with all our being, to love our neighbor as ourselves, and to love our friends. There is no greater love than for someone to give his life for his friends. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. 2 Corinthians 9:15. We thank the Heavenly Father for this opportunity, and we will conclude with hymn 183, and Brother Aaron will ask Lord's blessing upon our thoughts and words and the days to come, so we may praise God and stay on guard and watch and pray. 183.